Welcome to The Score. We're your hosts, Scott Bracken and his expert panel of guests will discuss everything about sports. From turf toe to title line, from the latest on the pennant race and who's the latest on the line. So buckle your chin strap and fasten your seatbelt as Scott Bracken and company give you the full court press on The Score.
All right. Thank you for tuning in on this Saturday night edition of The Score, where we break down everything that is happening in the sports pages across America. Kind of a big day today with NBA playoffs, Lakers and the Kings. My team did not do too well today, but we'll get to that in a minute. Also got some Stanley Cup action, baseball everywhere, all over. But real quick, I want to introduce my guests that I have here. Joining me in the studio, Stuart Altshuler. You might know him from Tell the Truth Faster. He's here today, Stuart. How's it going?
It's going great.
Excellent.
Nice to be in Phoenix.
Stuart's from L.A. So out there, let's talk about he's a marriage family therapist and does different things with kind of what happens mentally with people and kind of relating this to what's going on. Situation that is in L.A., Chuck Finley, Anaheim Angels pitcher, and his wife, Tawny Kitaen, famous White Snake video vixen, however you want to say it. They had a fight. She beat him up. Now she's coming back and saying, oh, he did all these steroids, he did all his drugs, he was drinking and cheated on me and all this, and kind of coming back after the fact. He's got his story. She's obviously got his story. You probably see this all the time, but when you're famous like this, it takes on a different role, does it not?
It takes a totally different role. First of all, because everybody's watching you. Mm-hmm. I don't care whether you're an athlete or any kind of celebrity, an actor or a politician, whatever. Everybody's watching you. I mean, your life's not your own. There's no sense of privacy.
Right.
And it's he said, she said, and it's who's the more popular one? Or what do people want to believe about them? I mean, people certainly want to believe that Mike Tyson beats up everyone.
Right.
You know, do they want to believe that Finley is doing this? Or do they want to believe his wife beats him up? You know, it's like people have their own attitudes.
Okay, and that's interesting. I mean, there's other things we can go through, a lot, a whole spectrum of athletes and the relationships, and even psychologically how they get damaged, and when it comes down to the crunch time, at the free throw line, games on line, do they have what it takes? Mentally, maybe they collapse. We're going to get into that too, but it sounds like we have J-Day Horn on line four. Jason, are you there?
Hey, am I here, man?
Okay, excellent. How's it going, Jason, out there?
Well, did you get a load of that game?
Well, this is one thing I definitely want to get into. I mean, we can go ahead and tip off on this. 106-99 was the score. Yes, Lakers went up to Arco Arena up in Sacktown, took down the mighty Kings.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Stuart here from L.A.
I've been traveling all day today. I knew the game was going on, and it's like I didn't even – this is the first minute I had realized, oh, the Lakers played today.
Lakers played.
Of course.
Lakers are up now. One's are, of course they did. I mean, you're being biased, obviously, being a Lakers fan. But I saw just mostly some of the highlights kind of come in right before the show. Didn't actually sit down and watch the game. I saw Kobe had 30. Weber had 28. Also had like 18 boards. What was the difference here? Did Sacktown look like the Kings that we're used to?
Definitely, they look like the Kings that we're used to in the end of the game. Mm-hmm. But at the beginning of the game, I think they just lost control. I don't know what happened. Like I said, I thought they were going to be nervous this game.
Right.
And that's ended up what happened. But I was looking at the points per quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And we only, like, the Kings only lost the first quarter. They lost by 15, though. So, I mean, you know what I mean?
They were down 15 after
the first. And then the rest of the three quarters, they either beat them or tied.
They're
so
playing
right
catch
here,
up,
I don't know, like, I'm considering next game Kings all over.
Well, you know, we saw the Lakers, what they did against the Spurs last week. Talk about a fourth-quarter team. Kobe Bryant lighting them up towards the end. Down the stretch, they're really unstoppable.
Oh, man, you can't do anything about him. They had Christie on him, one of, like, the better defenders of the league.
Yeah.
And he was just... It looked like a bench player. It was sad.
That's sad. And Bibby, obviously one of the X factors here too, Mike Bibby, point guard for the Kings, had a decent game it looked like, but I think he went scoreless in the second quarter.
I don't know. I don't know about Bibby being scoreless in the second quarter, but I do know a big-time disappointment in Turkoglu.
Turkoglu.
He didn't score at all.
Turkoglu is our guy who's stepping in for Pedro Stojakovic. He's hurt, obviously, big factor in this game. Somebody can nail a three. You think he comes back? And I've heard now that he's not even, or he's questionable at best for game three. Have you heard anything different?
Yeah, I've heard that he's questionable for the series.
For the series, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I've been wrong on that.
I'm definitely not looking forward to, or we won't see him game two, so.
Well, it looked like Chris Webber was doing some damage. Looked like they held Shaq to, I think, under 9 rebounds, I think. I don't know how many points he had, but you like the Kings. I like the Kings. You've heard me all season long. Tooting their horn.
I saw Chris Webber look like he was a little nervous, actually.
Nervous? Well,
yeah,
you know, they were talking a lot of smack, though, too. You heard about the Kings. Vlade Divac was just saying, hey, Lakers, they don't have home court. It's ours now. There's no way they can win it. And, Stuart, I can kind of toss this back to you. Talking about those psychological edges, you see this a lot in sports. They'll just talk smack about their opponent. Look at the Tyson thing, what we have with Lennox Lewis. How big a factor would you say that psychologically damaging or even hyping things up can obviously have a negative effect, too?
Oh,
but
definitely.
I think it works, too.
It has an effect, a factor, like, because I know I play basketball a lot, and when I start talking smash, that's not my game, so I lose a lot. Like, you know what I mean? I'll start taking wild shots, so I don't know. It depends on the person you are, but, you know what I mean? It definitely takes a factor when, like, other teams are talking and stuff like that.
Well, the more bravado you're giving, the farther you have the fall, too.
Good point.
The thought that came to me actually about Sacramento is that they're finally at this point in a playoff series, and that city's been going crazy. And it's, you know, you talk about home court advantage, but sometimes I think there can be a home court disadvantage when the expectations are so high and everybody is just assuming you've had such an incredible season that you're going to be able to handle it all the way through here, and you have a stadium filled with people not just rooting you on, but expecting you now
expecting
to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it can sometimes have an opposite effect. I mean, the Lakers are used to being in this position.
Uh-huh.
You know, they've shown themselves to be able to handle it, you know, home and away. How far did they go undefeated in the last two series? You know?
Right.
Last year they only lost one championship. And I think maybe the Kings just got hit with the high expectations and, choke.
It's a good point, you know, talking about
the
choke.
Like, well, actually, I don't know. It's hard to say that because, again, I looked at the courts or the points per quarter, and all I saw was a tie game after the first quarter. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
It was 23-23, I believe, the second quarter points scored, and then third, the Kings even were up.
But so they were playing catch-up the whole time.
Nervous tensions, like the first few minutes. I mean, it is the conference finals.
Right.
So you're going to have nerves. So, I mean, you know, I think it was just the first quarter. I see the Kings bouncing back off this game and learning a lot.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you talk about momentum, too, and how important that is in whatever sport it is, in tennis and football and golf and basketball. And that momentum, you get off the bat, you're 15 points down, you're always playing catch-up, you're at home, you got your crowd behind you, but at the same time, momentum and the Lakers, too. I mean,
Kobe Bryant is just amazing.
The half-court offense. You just dump it down to Shaq and just let him bang his way down, and he'll pop it in. If not, dish it out to Kobe. They got some other players look like Fox and Fisher were double figures, too. So they've got a good team, but I like Sacramento, though, too. Overall, I think they play good ball. They got a better bench. Pedro's out, but we'll see. 7 points, man. Look pretty convincing today.
I think the Lakers have probably an easier time this year also because they didn't take their division this year. So they are coming into this showing themselves as human and not these super gods that are going to win every time and stuff. And so I think there's more of a realistic position that they're in, and that again, in L.A., there's more of a realistic expectation that you know, they could lose. Because they have lost games and more games than they did last season. And the Kings, you know, I think had the best record, you know?
And then the West, And this is actually in the whole league, definitely this year. Number one seed. And so that's one thing, too. You talk about bravado, you know, and bringing that in. And, hey, we're a team that's never been there. We're kind of unproven ourselves. We're here in this situation. Everybody knows it's L.A.'s, but they're not as good this year. They have that mystique, you know, and that reputation. So maybe that kind of brashness, that boldness, that swagger, that narcissistic kind of attitude, like, hey, you guys ain't going to go through here, kind of stems almost from the fact that they feel like they got to prove themselves. So that's my therapy take.
Break it down, Brackenator.
Breaking it down, hearing the score, and you're all welcome to get in the game here if you're local, cruising around the valley, 602-277-5369, 277-KFNX, or if you're outside the Valley of Sun, toll free, 1-877-900-KFNX. Also, today, Lakers-Kings, but tomorrow we got the New Jersey Nets and the Boston Celtics. And I think I know who you like here just because your Sixers got beat by the Celtics, so I think you're kind of rooting for them. But after seeing New Jersey Nets, Captain Kidd taking it in the eye, walking around like, I don't know, with that big patch, it was kind of almost a chilling moment there. And seeing the way he plays too, Nets, they're looking good. I don't know if they're going to beat Boston. I think the spread last time I saw was 3 points at home. You like Boston in this one, Jason?
I definitely think Boston is a good team. I like the way they shoot. I mean, if they get started on a three-point, you know, I don't know what's going to stop them. But I also don't know. This is like one game I have no idea throughout the whole playoffs. Like any other playoff series, I could have just guessed.
Right.
This one, I don't even want to do that because it's too. I think it's too even.
And, going into this and talking about a team that, you know, Boston Celtics, of course, back in the day, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, even prior to that, a lot of banners hanging from the rafters, not the Boston Gardens anymore at the Fleet Center, but a lot of history that goes along with that. But Bird, McHale, Parrish, the Chief, everybody, that was late 80s. They haven't really been doing anything in Boston. Beantown's been blank since about 88, 90. So now they're kind of almost trying to make those comparisons, too. But you talk about a team. They're young guys. Paul Pierce, one of their best guys from L.A., talking about that's the new scene. Baron
He's
Davis.
He's talking some smack about the series.
Yeah, too. Talk about another trash talker. But again, I mean, it's a team that almost feels obligated to live up to that mystique. Like, hey, we got to be like Bill Russell. We got to be like the days of Bird. But they're a young team, too. But right now they're hot, and you don't really ask questions, I guess, when you're on
a
roll.
That could be a motivator for them, too. I mean, it could, you know, it's like they could be awestruck and fall on their faces, or it could be a motivator to say, hey, you know, it's like, you know, a young player going into Yankee Stadium and saying he's playing in the house of, you know, that Ruth built and stuff, and it motivates them to live up to it. So in that sense, it could be. And, you know, Boston hasn't had a championship in anything for a while.
Yeah, and going into as well thank you, Ryan. Something I just got here. McDarty loves Detroit. This is a Stanley Cup. We're going to get to this in a little bit. Red Wings over the Avalanche looks like 5-3. But talking about another team, too, with the Nets, it's almost similar that what you got going on in the East and the West with the Kings and the Lakers. Kings, team that's not used to being there, but here they are, number one seed. Lakers, been there before, done that. They're the team to beat. And then over here, you got Boston, which has the history to boot to kind of go with them. But the Nets are a terrible team. This is, what, 20 years, I think, that they haven't been to the Eastern Conference.
Have they even won anything? Like, ever?
No, they haven't been this far, ever. So the New Jersey Nets, and they got a whole new team, and it kind of goes back to Captain Kidd. Used to be a Phoenix Sun. I'm still a little bitter about that trade. Going on there now, had the MVP-like season, even though he didn't get it. But the Nets, another team that's kind of – but they're not really talking trash like Sacramento is. It seems like they're just doing their trash talking on the floor, which I guess is the ultimate answer, but I don't know.
I don't know. I could see Kidd responding to Pierce, because you hear what Pierce said, right?
What is the quote? I just kind of saw
that. I don't know about a quote, but all I know is during this season, they played him 4 times, and let's see, Pierce had, I believe, 30 the first game. Second game, scorched him for 48 points in the second half.
This was during the regular season.
Yeah, this is during regular season. And then the other two games, he got over 35 points. But still, I mean, he's saying to this team that he said to the papers and everyone else, no one can stop me. No one on that team can hold me. They're going to be having trouble with me. That's what he said.
That's the thing, too. Like, you look at the matchup just on paper. Who are you going to put on Pierce? Because if you put Kidd on there, who's a good defender, arguably, but he's got some inches on him. He's just going to hit it from the outside. He's not going to be able to penetrate like he can on some other guys. Like, you throw Van Horn on him, he's not going to be as quick as a kid. And he's got that height comparison. Well, he'll be able to put some hands in his face, but Pierce is good. He'll be able to put some moves on him, take him to the hole. But put it the other way around, maybe they'll shift it up. I don't know. But Paul Pierce, obviously, if he gets in foul trouble like he did in that last game with, who was it, Charlotte.
Yeah, sitting on the bench won't do good, I know.
Right. So, I mean, this will be another factor, too. Maybe New Jersey is going to try to clamp down on him somewhere, get him in foul trouble, just get him in there. But then you got Antoine Walker. Just kick it out to him. They got the good bench. Talk about a couple other ex-sons, Rodney Rogers, Tony Delk. doing some damage for the green guys. I don't know. I'd like to see Boston, L.A. You probably would, too. Probably remember those days, Stuart, back there in the mid-'80s, the classic rivalries of basketball.
Well, I hate to burst your bubble, but I wasn't that much of a sports fan most of the time.
That's okay.
It's like I have to have an emotional attachment to a team. Like, you know, I mean, I grew up in New York City, so anytime the Yankees or the Mets are doing anything, I'm excited, or any New York team. Mm-hmm. I lived in South Florida, and it was really exciting when the Marlins took the World Series that year. You know?
Right.
And I've been in L.A., so it's like if there's a local team, like I told you earlier, mm-hmm. it's like as soon as the Kings got eliminated from the Stanley Cup and stuff, I just haven't been paying attention.
No interest. You got the Dodgers, too.
I need an emotional connection. It's not just the sports for me. So
right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Talking about Stanley Cup again, Red Wings taking down the mighty Colorado Avalanche 5-3. Red Wings could be theirs to win now. I think it's all going to go through Colorado. But, hey, we like to talk about basketball. What's going on here? How many games, Jason, do you see breaking down here with Boston, New Jersey?
Boston?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Honestly, probably all seven.
Okay, all seven games. I see seven maybe after the Kings, too. Hey, I think I'm getting word here that we might be going to a commercial break here now. I think we should have some music piping in here. There it is. Hey, it's the score.
There,
you going to hang out over the break there, J-Day?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm hanging out.
Right on. We're going to be right back after this. This is the Brackenator, Stuart Altshuler, J-Day Horn. On the score, 1100 KFNX. Out!
The score will be right back on AM 1100.
Okay, maybe this is you. You love where you live, you don't want to move, but you're running out of space, closet space, garage space. Maybe you've even converted one of those bedrooms to use as a home office, and you're really strapped for room. That was true for us. If it is for you, you should know that families just like ours are calling Classy Closets. First, we called them for extra space for our closets. Then they came back and redid my office. The Classy Closets designers are experts at taking a space and finding ways to utilize every square inch of it so that there's plenty of room for everything, clothes, shoes, files, whatever. Need a home office but can't give up that extra bedroom? Classy Closets can give you both a good-looking, efficient home office and a built-in wall bed. And Classy Closets can reorganize your garage as well with workbenches, files, storage areas. They'll even find room for the car. Classy Closets manufactures everything right here in the Valley, and all their work comes with a lifetime guarantee. Check them out online at ClassyClosets.com or call for a free estimate at 480-967-2200. That's 480-967-2200. Call them Classy Closets.
It's spring now, but summer's on the way, and those days of temperatures reaching 108 degrees will be here. Is your horse shaded and protected? Call Billings and Barnes today. A registered contractor and manufacturer whose sales staff cares about you and your equine needs. Come in, sit down, and design a structure to meet your needs and add value to your property. Billings and Barnes can provide you with details that will make your barn safe, efficient, and classy. The best in solid wall barns, mare motels, shades, and round pins. No job is too large or too small, and you will find Billings and Barnes products and work both attractive and affordable. Call today, 480-968-5959. Custom design your show barn with the help of our friendly sales staff. Beat the heat. Plan today. Prompt and timely service is a guarantee. Call Billings and Barnes, 480-968-5959. Arizona made for Arizona horsemen.
Talk to our expert hosts. Call toll-free, 877-900-5369. In the Phoenix area, call 602-277-KFNX.
Now let's get an update on the score. Here's your host, Scott Bracken.
I know this. But I'm going to get you high today,
because
it's Friday.
Hey, that was the wrong track. Sorry, this is Brackenator. This is the score. We're going to break it all down for you, everything that is kicking down in the world of sports, bringing you to the top of the hour here on Hot Talk 1100 KFNX. Got J-Day Horn out there online for you. Still there, dude?
Woo-hoo.
Excelente. And I got Stuart Altshuler here in the studio, breaking down some of the more psychological elements that we like to talk about here in the fabulous world of sports. Interesting thing, now that I'm thinking about it. We talked about Ken Griffey Jr. last week, right?
Right.
Got a award, our little award here, little bitch of the week, kind of a guy who is out there crying a lot, maybe kind of being a crybaby of the week. We Here's the situation with Ken Griffey Jr. He's an awesome player. Cincinnati Reds. Played with the Mariners. Pardon me?
We don't know.
Well, we don't how awesome he is. I mean, he's got good stats. He's got good numbers. Kind of one of these guys they're projecting like a Barry Bonds that's going to beat Hank Aaron's record. Yeah, he's from Cincinnati. He's a local guy. He plays 9 years for the Mariners. Does awesome. Big deal. Takes a big pay cut. Comes to Cincinnati. Played for his hometown. His dad played for the Big Red Machine, Pete Rose, blah, blah, blah. But he doesn't really do that good right off the bat. He does okay. Puts up some good numbers. I think he was an all-star ballot his first year. Next year he got injured, but now every time he's either injured or when he's playing, he's not that good. But now he's upset with the fans because the fans on the local talk shows, they're talking, hey, why do we need this guy? Because now they're doing good, kind of looking at the records here. Cincinnati's first place in the NL Central, 25-16, four-game lead on the Cards, but he's not in there playing. So they kind of go back to, hey, who should they bench once Griffey gets back? And they're saying, nobody. We don't need him now. And he's saying, well, I don't believe I'd be treated like this, you know. And he's almost expecting, again, royal treatment because, hey, I'm a local. You guys should love me. But he's not producing. How do you see this from an athlete's perspective? That's obviously not good PR to say and bash your fans.
Well, it's hard for any of us to see it from an athlete's perspective. None of us are in their position. We don't know all the dynamics that have gone in to make him, you know, he's following in his dad's footsteps. It's his hometown. It's the expectations, again, that were on him when he went, you know, back to Cincinnati. Mm-hmm.
A lot of expectations, too.
A lot.
Huge.
You know, it's like, and it's a lot of pressure. And, you know, the injuries certainly then don't help. And so what do you do? And all of a sudden you're feeling totally unsupported by the fans, where you were expecting to get most of your support. Mm-hmm. And maybe you still feel like you have a lot of good playing left in you and you're feeling like you're about to be abandoned, like in any relationship. You have to look at it like it's an intimate relationship two people have. Mm-hmm. And it's the same types of fears, the same problems with communication, the same level of expectations. I mean, if right. you narrow it down to like the couples counseling that I do, the couple is Ken Griffey Jr. And the fans.
The city.
You know, and the city. So it's like everybody is reacting, getting defensive.
Mm-hmm. You can't please everyone, too, exactly. To his credit. But at the same time, you got to give the impression like, hey, I'm trying my best. Yeah, I'm injured right now. Mm-hmm. Things have been going great, but we're turning around. We're thinking about some new stuff. Instead of saying, hey, you know what? I shouldn't get treated like this. You guys are lucky to have me. I took a pay cut to get here. Almost like, come on, man. Aren't you guys, you know, you should be worshiping me and adoring me and can't wait till I come
back.
It's
the difference between arrogance and humility.
That's exactly. I think you're right.
And those athletes that come across with a sense of humility, gee, I know I've been having a poor season and I'm, you know, doing my best to get back to, you know, what I know I can do and I just need your support, mm-hmm. as opposed to blaming the fans for the hassles.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. And hey, another thing that, now that I got you on here, I can take this golden opportunity to take all the psychological elements I've always wanted to talk about with athletes. One other thing, Jason and I, we talked about a lot, was the Patriots. You remember that whole run we had with the Pats?
Definitely.
Patriots, very awesome team.
We sent them to the Super Bowl.
We sent them, you and I personally. We yeah. picked them just about every week on the shows, made
when
some bold predictions.
Everyone else had them down.
Down the stretch, you remember the Steelers? You know, we read it all.
Yep.
Did a midweek show that week, too, but one of the things with the Patriots, maybe you're familiar with this, Tom Brady was not the rookie, second-year guy coming in. Drew Bledsoe was their main guy for years and years, 10, 12 years. Drew Bledsoe, good prospect out of college, was an all-pro, not every year, but had some good steady numbers. But over the years, became slower, had the knee problems, not that mobile in the pocket, you know, used to get sacked a lot, but still had the arm, but really didn't have what it took. Took him to the Super Bowl once, twice, but not really that much more. He gets hurt in week two. Tom Brady comes in. Second year, unproven. Nobody knows who he is. From Michigan. Maybe you kind of remember the name back then. But comes in, starts winning some games. Starts winning some more games. Then right around week 12, week 13, week 14, Drew Bledsoe, the starter, is ready to play again. What do we do now? This guy's gotten us. We're leading the division. We're doing the best we've ever done. This guy's showing so much promise from what Drew Bledsoe lacked in all those years when we put him back in there because he was our guy. And they made the decision, hey, we're not going to start Drew Bledsoe. We're going to keep Tom Brady in. He's going to do it. And he takes him all the way to the Super Bowl. Great. Good story. Now we're in the offseason. Drew Bledsoe's got a contract to negotiate. I don't want to stay here and be a backup. You know, I'm a starter. I'm going to be a Hall of Famer. I don't know if he's a shoo-in for the Hall of Fame. But now he's at Buffalo, which is one of New England's rivalries. interesting setup here, but psychologically, what kind of damage does that do to Drew Bledsoe, saying, hey, man, you're good for a while, but you're old news now. We got a new guy here. He's a new thing. We don't care about you almost. I mean, that plays a part.
Well, it has to play a part, you know, but a good athlete knows that a coach and managers are going to do what they know is best for the team, and a team player and not a personality knows that they're part of a team. And if the team's on a way to the Super Bowl because of a certain structure, mm-hmm. you don't tell them, you know, if it's not broken, don't fix it, right?
Right,
that
right.
sort of thing. So, again, it gets back to arrogance and humility. It's okay. Like you need to know that there are seasons you're going to be there and seasons you won't be there. And, you know, how could you expect them to shift gears when everything's working just because yeah. your ego's involved?
And maybe I'm thinking, like, maybe I'm thinking too much. You're like, oh, it's almost like a sense of belonging. Like, you know, the city, they adore me, all the fans, all the papers, all the radio guys that had me on their shows, and they love me, but now they hate me. And it's almost like he doesn't feel like he belongs anywhere. But maybe I'm making too much out of it. It's just like you said, they're an athlete. They know the rules here. It's just territory of the field.
I don't know him, but maybe he is thinking that. They hate me now and stuff. And instead of the fact that, you know, some of them do perceive it as a love-hate relationship, you know, instead of, you know, this is showbiz, if you want to talk, you know, L.A. terms, you know, this is showbiz, it's sports.
It's showbiz,
know?
Right.
And sometimes you're having a good season, sometimes you're not, you know, and hopefully you come back. If you're not having a good season, hopefully someone knows what you can do and gives you another chance. And if he's getting it in Buffalo, he's getting it in Buffalo, and you'd be grateful for it.
It's going to be some interesting games in Buffalo, New England face off next year. What do you see breaking down? Do you see Bledsoe coming out and maybe talking smack like we do here, Jason? Or do you see, like, hey, they'll just go out there, the Bills will lose like they normally do?
Well, I don't see Bledsoe talking too much, Yang.
I don't know.
You know, because during the playoffs, you know, he sat on the sideline pretty quietly.
That's true. And he did step in the Pittsburgh game, took that shot and did the 360, got the good grass down.
Yeah, do you think they would have won that game if he didn't step in?
It's a good point. I don't know. Who else they got in there? Who's Hugh Millen or who's their third string for New England? Do you know?
Ooh. Third string I stay away from.
Yeah, stay away from the guys with the clipboards and the hats.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, by the way, did you hear Tom Brady and Tara Reid, the American Pie girl?
No way.
She,
don't tell me.
No, she wanted to ask him out, and he shot her down.
Oh,
Tom
what?
Brady shot down Tara Reid. Yeah. I don't know. I know you're
He's
a big
crazy.
Fan.
He's crazy.
He's crazy, man. What's he thinking?
Did anyone see American Pie?
Yeah, I saw it. I didn't see the second one, but yeah.
Well, then you know he's crazy.
American Pie, big fan. Sorry. American Pie. One of the gals in there. Getting shot down by Tom Brady, which is kind of cool, though, too. You know, it's like, yeah, I got my own. Hey, I hear a little Rage Against the Machine piping in the background. Jason, we're going to be right back after this. Hang here. Stuart, Brackenator, J-Day, DJ Chad, orchestrating the score behind the glass. We're going to be right back after these messages. Hot Talk 1100 KFNX.
The score will be right back on AM 1100
KFNX.
Race Week Radio. Tune in Wednesday nights at 11 for all the latest in the world of motorsports. Join Todd Weiland as he gets down to the nitty-gritty, lap by lap. Race Week Radio won't be limited to the big boys. This show is dedicated to fulfilling all of your speed needs. NASCAR, kart, Formula One, even speed boating. Race Week Radio every Wednesday at 11 p.m. only on AM 1100 KFNX.
I'm Heavy D. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. You receive a very disturbing phone call, only to find out that someone you love or care about has been seriously injured in a car accident, all because of a drunk driver. Now, understand that your lifestyle is your business, but when you drive drunk, you become everybody's business. You want to have fun? Pick a designated driver.
A reminder that friends don't let friends drive drunk. A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, U.S. Department of Transportation, National Association of Broadcasters, and RAD.
Is life making you so anxious and stressed out that any minute now you feel as though you will explode? Let Stuart Altshuler help you. As a practicing California licensed marriage and family therapist who uses a holistic approach, he's here for you every Wednesday as he hosts To Tell the Truth Faster. During the program, Stuart Altshuler will explore ways to help you towards improving your life by identifying the truth about who you are and accessing your courage to change and grow. Tell the Truth Faster, Wednesdays 10 to 11 p.m. only on Hot Talk 1100 KFNX.
Here's your current Hot Talk 1100 KFNX weather forecast.
This is Hot Talk 1100 KFNX.
Now let's get an update on the score. Here's your host, Scott Bracken.
That is right. You hear a little bit of distortion piping in off the boards. That means we're back here on the score, 1100 Hot Talk KFNX. Breaking down everything that's on sports, kind of doing more of a psychological slant here on the show with my guest, Stuart Altshuler. Got Jay Dayhorn. You still there?
Oh, definitely.
He's still here. He's always here. Breaking down some of the points and stuff. I got a bunch of papers in front of me. But, again, while I have this chance and this opportunity to get you in here, let's talk about what's going on in baseball psychologically. Bud Selig coming out in the L.A. Times recently saying that there's 6 to 8 teams that aren't going to make it past a year and a half. Thank you, Ryan. Oh, we got all the box scores. And, again, you were saying, too, yeah, and some of the teams that we're talking about, Florida Marlins, Minnesota Twins, are actually doing really well this year.
Right. The ones they said they were going to cut are actually, like, in competition this year.
Psychologically, you think this works as an advantage for the team, for the players, for the fans, for the owners, for baseball itself, or how do you break this
again,
down?
Motivation is motivation. Everybody has their own reasons for succeeding or not succeeding. Sometimes we're passive-aggressive and deliberately do something counterproductive to get even with someone.
Right.
You know, other times someone can say, you can't have that, and we'll make sure we prove them wrong and we're going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so sometimes hearing that you may not be part of a team anymore, all of a sudden they pull together and they're showing themselves to be a team.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Jason Horn, is there any baseball teams you'd like to see go?
Man, I just I stick with the home team, you know.
Yeah.
I really play baseball or watch baseball enough, so. Never got into that, but, you know, go Diamondbacks.
And the business side of it, too. We all like to try to stay out of that because these guys are ridiculously paid, too. And you look at,
there's another strike going to happen, though.
And that's what they're talking about. Say a strike is looming. So it's creeping around. Could be August. Could be November. Who knows? Players say they won't have it, but that's the whole thing with the players' union. They got the best legal team in town. Owners aren't going to budge. Bud Selig's in the middle, but a lot of people are pointing fingers now. I don't know. And you kind of look at, too, we're talking a little bit before the break about the Charlotte Hornets, situation they got. They know halfway through the season, team's not going to be here. Fans, the whole city, hate the owners, despise them. And that's one of the arguments that they have. Hey, why would I want to support an owner that the community hates to go ahead and just move our team to another city next season? But on the other side of it, hey, these guys are a pretty good team. They're making the playoffs. You got a great opportunity not only to get tickets to go see a playoff game, but you can get nosebleeds and then just sit down in, you know, row 4 or 5 because nobody's going to be there. How would you see it being a fan, say you're a basketball, and that's huge. That's basketball country out there in Tobacco Road with North Carolina and Duke. You'd think that's a slam dunk to have an NBA team there, but the owners, they don't like it. Should the fans even think the owners are part of the equation or just do it for the love of the game, man?
Well, I think a sports fan, it's about the love of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they're going to be pissed off with the owners, they're going to be pissed off with the owners, and if their true love is the basketball, and then they're going to be there rooting. And I think most people separate management from the players anyway, and they know that if the players are playing their heart out, then they deserve someone there cheering them on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most people understand and know what it's like to have a crowd there or not have a crowd there.
Absolutely.
You know, so
it's a good point. Hey, Thad of the Bone is now joining us here in the studio.
Oh, I
getting hooked up in the mic.
You
hooked up there, babe?
Yeah, I'm cool.
Excellent. Hey. This is our boxing analyst enthusiast. One thing I want to talk about, Monstrous Ball, Iron Mike. On the cover of SI this week, we got a great article about him. Fight is looming June 8th again. Everybody, if you don't have your pay-per-view now, everybody's going to get it. Astronomical numbers they are projecting on this. This is going to be a big fight. It's a big event. It's something you're not going to want to watch. I mean, you're not going to want to miss. Sorry, you're going to want to watch. But they're going through here, too. You remember that, Leon Spinks. They itemize how much this guy spent in 95 to 97 legal fees, house in Connecticut, in Ohio, in Vegas, personal expenses like $7.8 million, attorney fees like $1.8 million, training expenses.
$3 million fine.
Nevada State Athletic Commission. I mean, I can't even remember all the title here for the total, but you look at this guy, Mike Tyson, again, psychologically. We kind of talked about him at the top of the show, Stuart Altshuler, our psychological expert here, breaking down everything about sports. this guy is a loose cannon. He bit somebody's ear off. He's been raping women. He's not right. He's imbalanced. He goes into jail. He finds God, whatever.
Did you hear what he said, too? Quote, he said, I belong in jail. He said, he even said that. It's over. Once you say that, I mean, how are you going to go on public record and say, I belong in jail?
But do you think he's going to go in there? Because he's obviously in top shape. He's going to go in there like he did with everybody else. He doesn't have the jaw, like you said, on here. He's going to knock off first
have a
two
jaw.
Rounds.
No.
State of Nevada's be like, welcome arms. Come on back, baby.
He'll blow it something. He's going to do something to blow it. Like I said, he's going to knock him down, then kick him when he's down or do something.
He's a self-destructive person, and he's going to keep ending up knocking himself out over and over again without needing anyone else to put a fist to his face.
Mm-hmm.
And his words keep doing it, his behaviors keep doing it, and if he has the belief that he belongs in jail, he'll get himself back there. Because I really believe the power of the mind is that strong. And if that's the way you were raised, or if that's what's been going on, you got to realize he's been in a lot of fights, so the brain's a little screwed up probably too.
Take a bite out of the brain.
You know, so if he really has that belief that he belongs in jail, I'll guarantee you he'll be back in jail.
But this is boxing, Stuart. I mean, this is two people that are barbaric in nature, that they're beasts, you know, and that's just in their nature, that whole scorpion squirrel argument. Hey, it's in your nature. This is what I am. I'm a beast. This is what I do, is I beat people up and I talk like I'm going to kill them. I'm going to eat your children, whatever.
Yeah, I was going to say, not everybody says they're going to eat your children.
But you know what? There are plenty of boxers out there that are real good role models and real fine
good
people
point.
And really do good things in the world and really have a sense of respect and are good sports when they lose and are really excited and know how to win well also. They're not all Mike Tysons.
They're not, and that's a good point.
Well, someone said that Mike Tyson was regressing back to his younger years. That's why he's starting to flip out and he has no self-control like a little kid out there. And just,
yeah, he's totally out of control.
Doesn't have a father figure. This trainer that they have in here, it was known as like one of the guys once he was starting up that groomed him a lot. He had another woman and his wife, and these people are out. He really never got raised properly. He got a whole Robin Givens. I got another picture of that. It's kind of a great article, too, if you read it. But, again, kind of looking back to the sport itself and boxing, maybe it's a PR stunt, just what he did in the press conference and everything else. Like, he's trying to build this up himself, like almost like Tyson's mastermind, marketing genius. I don't know. Maybe Don King's obviously got his dirty hands in here as well. But
it's the only way he gets attention.
You think it's deeper than that,
you know,
too.
I think he gets a lot of attention from what he does. And if he's not in the game, no one's paying attention to him. Unless he's breaking the law or hurting somebody, you know, unless he has a bout coming and, you know, the chance to be in the spotlight, you know, who's paying attention to him? And it seems to me like he needs a lot of attention paid to him.
Or just stay on the antidepressants and just... Because that's what happens when he stops taking it out of control.
Yep.
Freak show.
Well, let's get some quick predictions really quick. Iron Mike versus Lennox Lewis. Jason, who you like?
Oh, Lewis.
Lewis.
Big time.
Do you like Lewis in what round?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
It'd have to go the distance.
Well, you know what I mean?
Dad's shaking his head like he wants to say
Lennox
something.
Lewis ain't going to knock him out. Lennox Lewis is not going to knock him out.
If he only wins, it's going to have to go the distance.
It'd have to go the distance. He's going to box him, and if he if Lennox Lewis wins, like Tyson's going to knock himself out of the fight. He's going to do something. Other than that, Tyson's going to beat him.
And you're saying that Lewis doesn't have the jaw to take Tyson for 12 rounds, so deducing that theory, Tyson's going to win in what round, Dad?
Okay, I'm going to give two of them.
Two?
Either Tyson's going to lose late, like in the seventh, eighth, he's going to lose, like he said, he's going to get himself in trouble, or he's going to get him maybe a round early.
Okay.
Man, I can't wait for this fight. When's the fight scheduled?
June 8th. In Memphis, right? Isn't that where they decided on where they're going to have it? I don't know. Maybe not. It's weird.
I wouldn't be surprised if the fight didn't even happen.
I thought it was in Washington.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if he did something to undermine even the fight taking place.
We're closing in. What are we? We're less than a month away now, I guess. So
anything could happen with Mike Tyson.
Anything could happen. Interesting set of circumstances. Setting the stage again, June 8th. Be there, be square. It's going to be a big event. Hey, let's talk about some baseball news and notes. Hey, wait, real quick. I got you in here. You don't have your Lakers jersey on.
I know. I wish I had it. I was going to wear it.
Oh, I thought you'd sport that in.
I know. I was going to too. And then,
Well. No, Lakers again. Lakers did win the game. I just had a box.
Yeah. Yes, they did.
Hey, Pat, are you feeling pretty good?
Yeah, I was feeling great.
You gotta be scared to be a little bit good.
They look good. They're shooting like 70% in the first half. Just raining threes. It looked like it was pouring, like raining. Everybody's hit. Even Phil Jackson hit a three in the first half. Everybody hit a three.
But now Horn's saying it's just like, hey, they just played catch up. They would have set the tone early, not gotten back
so
far.
The actual scores per quarter?
Yeah, well, the second half. That's when the second half, Sacramento, and usually, you know, Lakers really come in the fourth. I mean, Sacramento made a good rally.
They beat them or tied them.
Mm-hmm.
You better watch out next game, boy.
Yeah.
But that first game was at Sactown.
36-22 at the end of the first.
I think Sacramento plays because Lakers played excellent, like the best they could play, actually, like good. And then Sacramento played like crap in the first.
And plus, Sacramento's the road team. Remember, man, they won in Utah. They won in Dallas. They did lose to both those guys at Arco, too, one game. So
that's going to go six games. Lakers going to win 4-2. That's my prediction.
All right. I think seven.
I'd switch it around and say that I say Sactown in five.
They're going to win the next four.
Yep.
Okay.
What are you doing?
Even Stewart had left that one. Okay. Also, baseball, back to the diamond. Our D-backs with Rubio Durazo hitting three homers, nine RBIs. Is that right? Am I reading that right? Durazo?
Oh, yeah, he came back.
Baseball a little bit more.
Durazo.
Yeah.
Rubio Durazo. It's
only his second game back he did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just off the DL, so... He, I think, is dating a penthouse pet up in Scottsdale, too. Durazo. How about that?
No.
Yeah. That's what I heard.
Not someone making lots of money playing sports dating someone fine. No. You're crazy.
Doesn't happen. Does not happen in the world of sports. Hey, Barry Bonds hit more home runs. Where is he at? 15 on the year. I don't know. I think Barry's going to have a season like he did last year. Doesn't look like.
Maybe. I don't see all that. Remember we talked about the first game, oh, he's going to hit 756 home runs this year? And that's bull. At the beginning of the season, you can't go into it. And I knew it was going to happen. And I think he'll
start walking him, too.
Yeah. They're not going to start pitching at him. You know what I mean? It's that hype.
Anybody's on the base, they're going to walk him.
Giants are duking it out for top of the West standings. Half game back on the D-backs. Going into today. Hey, other news and notes, talk about everything that's going on in baseball. You see these teams that are going to fold shop, or Bud Selig's just going to close curtain on?
I heard. I don't know everything. I don't know the whole details.
Well, is there a team that you'd like to see go, or would you rather see the
I really don't care.
Owners go, or who would you like to see as commissioner?
Some I'm not even big into baseball. I really don't care.
Don't care about it.
Because aren't they going to go on strike at the end of the season anyways? They're talking about going on strike, the owners and all that. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of strikes. I'm tired of, man.
And it's going to kill the game, too. I mean, it did.
Again.
94. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then we went through it with basketball. Football's going to do it again. You know what I mean? Or what? That's terrible. Come on.
Yeah, we'll watching some arena football right now.
Thank you. See, they don't whine, and they make $8 a game.
Cowboys. And hey, we're going to talk about the city of L.A. possibly getting a football team. You heard about this?
They've been talking about that.
I mean, they've been talking about it a while. Yeah, well,
Cardinals?
They're saying like there's a handful of team, and you guys all saw
when
this.
They had a football team, they were talking about getting a football team.
L.A., nobody's the Lakers, but they want to make everybody Lakers. Hey, we got a roller commercial. We're going to be back here after this. DJ Chad's going to tell you what the weather is outside, and we're going to rock and roll to you to the top of the hour. It's J.J. Horn, Thad of the Bone, Stuart Altshuler, Scott Bracken, Brackenator, here on The Score, Hot Talk 1100, KFNX.
The Score will be right back on AM 1100, KFNX.
Sore throats, coughs, and stuffy noses are not the number one reason kids may miss school these days. Cavities are. Today, pediatric dentist Dr. Bill Lieberman explains.
Cavities in children is the most predominant childhood disease. It's seen throughout the population, although the most 80% of those cavities are seen in 25% of the population, those poor and underserved kids primarily.
And the consequences?
The cavities and their treatment account for over 50 million hours of lost school time per year. Not only the kids that have to stay home because of a toothache, but also the time that they need to take away from school for active treatment.
Good prevention strategies like frequent brushing and regular visits to the dentist could go a long way towards solving those cavity problems. This has been Health News Update.
The first thing you're going to want to know about Rula Bula, the Tempe Irish pub and restaurant, is what does Rula Bula mean? Well, loosely translated from Irish Gaelic, it means great fun. And I'm telling you, great fun is what you can expect when you visit this authentic Irish pub located in the historic Andre building in Tempe. Rula Bula, it's a warm and friendly place serving four-star cuisine. The traditional favourites include Guinness and beef, fish and chips and shepherd's pie. There's also lighter fare like vegetarian boxty, salmon with watercress sauce and signature desserts. You'll also find a perfect pour of Guinness, a great selection of imported Irish beer on draft and rare Irish whiskies. At Rula Bula, you'll find a ready smile, the invitation to enjoy great food and drink, hospitality and fun. So for the authentic Irish pub experience outside Ireland, come to Rula Bula, 401 South Mill Avenue in downtown Tempe. Shall we see you there?
This is Hot Talk 1100 KFNX.
Now let's get an update on the score. Here's your host, Scott Bracken.
All right, that's a pretty slow track. But hey, we're serious about sports. Whatever. Hey, it's the score. It's Brackenator. It's That of the Bone. It's Stuart Altshuler. And it's J-Day Horn out there. Los Angeles, you want to talk about the getting a city pro football team? I guess that's old news, but I just kind of heard more about it.
I don't know. Go ahead. Talk
Cardinals
about it.
Are kind of one team that's kind of in the running here. Being from L.A., would you want the Cardinals, Stuart?
No.
Come on. You're supposed to say no.
For me, it's a football team. It's a football team.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the attitude there from what I'm getting is if you build it, they will come.
Not well, L.A., though.
Talking about building a stadium and that
centers
if they
on
have
a stadium,
somebody's going to show up and play in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's...
What's wrong with the L.A. Coliseum?
L.A. is going to want to have their own team. They're going to want to have... Because what's... Okay, got rid of the Rams. L.A. Rams went to the St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
We have the former St. Louis Cardinals going to go to L.A.
Yeah.
They're gonna love it just to rival them. Nah, LA's not like that. They're gonna
and
want
I think
stuff.
Y'all saw The Simpsons when they tried to do that thing with Cardinals. Homer, keep walking.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
That was great.
We love our Cardinals here. We don't want them to leave.
Yeah, I actually don't want the Cardinals to leave.
Going 10-6
That's
this year,
though.
Right?
Oh yeah, you're,
I think
you're,
I said that.
Yeah. Even if they're going to the playoffs over the Rams.
Even if they go 0-16 though, the Cardinals are good for Arizona, good for Phoenix, good for money, good for sports in general. If you're a football fan, you don't really, even though they're terrible, you want to see your favorite team come and play.
Of course. But division renewal now or division realignment, they're now playing 49ers.
And the Rams, being the Rams down here, everybody's going to see the Rams.
Niners.
49ers make money down here. They'll play the Cowboys. Are they playing the Cowboys again?
Don't think so. I think that's one of
they made money
robberies
they
lost.
All the time down here.
So.
The Raiders did too, though.
Mm-hmm. That here.
Well, they did make money. I'm being, you know,
Raiders fan.
That was
I definitely went to every Lakers game right then.
I did.
Hey, looks like Mike Bibby had a pretty good game. 7-21. We're talking about him, X Factor, and that Kings and.
Bibby is bad. Bibby's gonna keep
like
that
Bibby.
Game.
We
I like Bibby.
Bibby.
Yeah, Bibby is bad. And then today, even when he stepped up, he'd make a run. But it's just him by himself. And he was trying to carry the team in the first half, and no one else was doing it. Weber was missing.
Yeah, Weber looks a little scared.
He was. And Divock is scared. Divock's scared of Shaq. If you could tell when they post up, Divock would do nothing. He let Shaq run all over him, and then Divock got all the fouls too quick. That they need someone else to step up. Bobby Jackson tried doing the second. Bobby Jackson kicked little butt.
Bobby Jackson
was crazy. Did you see that like reverse layup where he totally didn't want to do reverse layup?
Like two in a row, he did that.
I totally missed the game.
Man.
Running around today.
This is a good game after the first quarter.
Cool. I got the little numbers here. It does look like Doug Christie putting in a solid performance.
He against Kobe, but man, you can't expect to stop Kobe ever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not going to do it. He's the best player in the league.
But another Shaq was like out of it today. Shaq did not play good. Really, he seemed like how many points did he have? Like 17.
Nine rebounds, I think.
Obviously, yeah, I know they held him scoreless for like the first 8 minutes
but
or so.
Did you see the way he played? He was slow out there. Like, he wasn't into the game. Like, he was just like, he'd get the ball and he'd pass it away instead of trying to make a move. He was just passing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Do you still like the Lakers, though?
Yeah.
In the end? I mean, I know you're a fan and you're kind of biased here, but.
Game five.
Okay. Well.
No, you said Sacktown.
All right, game five.
And five.
Sacktown.
The year that the Lakers won their first championship, I was at the Mark Anthony concert at the Greek Theater. And everybody bought the tickets like months before, not knowing it was going to be a possible win. So I get there, and you see all of these antennas sticking up throughout the crowd because everybody brought their little TVs and stuff, and people had transistor radios in their ears. And Mark Anthony didn't know what was going on because cheers would come up in the middle of a song or something. He didn't realize what was going on. And so finally, finally, somebody off stage whispered to him and said, the Lakers are winning and are probably going to win the championship tonight. And finally, he picked up one of the TVs out of the audience from somebody and sat that on the stage. He said, there's 6 seconds left to the game. Okay, let's finish this out. And he said, they won. You can cheer now. And he just sat on the stage when everybody celebrated for like 20 minutes, and then he went back to singing.
That's cool.
That's really
it
cool.
It was great for him. It was, I had so much respect for how he handled that, you know?
And that that was 2 years ago when they had the riots, right, in L.A.?
Yeah,
after they won the finals?
Oh, yeah.
That was the convention they were having, too, I think. No, that was something different with Rage Against the Machine where they had the Democratic Convention. That was down in L.A. He started some riot.
No, but there were problems after the Lakers won with people in the streets celebrating too much.
And burning cop cars?
Yeah.
Man, if you were there, burning everything, like a building.
Yeah.
But the second year was much better.
Yeah.
Because they're all scared.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't make sense. You know, your team wins.
And you go destroy the city.
Right.
I know you should go to the other team.
Yeah.
You
should go destroy the other team's town.
It's like, didn't U of A, when U of A
yes,
won the
U of A got all
down in Tucson, they got nuts down there.
Maryland, everybody does it.
Yeah,
wait till the Cardinals win the Super Bowl.
Didn't both teams
Oh, Cardinals win a game.
Yeah, who did they beat? The Cowboys, and they carried the damn goalpost down Mill Avenue. Yeah. Like it was.
Yeah, they win any game. They're like, yeah.
Cards, yeah. We'll see how they do this year. I don't know. Cardinals, we all kind of laugh about them, too. But bad organization, bad football. Doesn't look like it's going to get any better.
But Boston is clean.
Boston.
Yep.
David Boston, yeah.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about that.
Nope.
David Boston getting pulled over. What is that, illegal?
Is he going to get suspended anything?
No. Well, they said they readmitted the cocaine couldn't be evidence because that's not what he was pulled
over. But just because he got charged, any of that, you know what I mean? Just because you get an illegal matter in the league, don't you have to automatically get...
I heard, too, that they kind of do it differently in different sports. Like, if you... That's it's right. The first time... Yeah, this is like the first time you do it that it's not public, but if it's the second time...
Yeah, in the NFL. Just in the NFL. I don't know about any
like
other
Daryl Strawberry and all that stuff. I think that was not the first time that some of that stuff had come out. It was... You keep the first cup, but if that happens again and again, I think this might have been Boston's.
I think when he was 12, the league already.
Being charged for DUI. That's like.
Yeah.
That's like jaywalking to them.
Yeah, now it is. Now, like, all right, go ahead.
Now, but, I mean, like me personally, like, yeah, it would be a big deal, but you're a superstar, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Not easy.
We got an NBA lottery this Saturday. There's a.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Yeah, sorry, Sunday.
During the halftime of the game.
Halftime of the game. There's some conspiracy theories floating around in the NBA that this is rigged. The lottery. Jerry West going to be the... Is this you that I think was making this claim? Somebody was... Yeah, I think it was you. That Jerry West now with the Grizzlies, like, are going to get the first pick. So that'll be interesting seeing if the Grizzlies ping pong comes up first. Jerry West, of course, from the Lakers. Great legend there. Sounds like he kind of got a raw deal there, just got squeezed out almost not on his own remission. Kind of like
sad.
Dwight Clark in Cleveland, too. But I don't know. Jerry West, he's huge in L.A. But, hey, we're going right forward here, up to the top of the hour with the score. Welcome your calls if you're out there listening, 602-277-KFNX. Shoot me on an email, brackenaz@yahoo.com. Or call Thad's cell phone, if you got it. Going to this tomorrow, you like Boston, New Jersey? Who you like here, Thad?
I said New Jersey. You know, I think New Jersey can do it. And I think Boston can do it. I don't know. Both of them. It's going to be good. That's going to be a good series right there. I think that's going to go all seven.
Mm-hmm. And I like Boston, too. I
think Nets going to be able to pull it out, though. And I hope so, too, because I think Jason Kidd deserves to go to the championship game and prove that he should have got the MVP.
Don't you want to see Celtics-Lakers, though?
I hate the Celtics. Then I'd really be – because then I would be mad. I would be too into the game. You know what I mean? I would be too, like – no.
A lot of history, though. But you like the Nets, too.
Yeah, I like the Nets.
You think the Nets deserve it. You think they're going to do it. You like Keith Van Horn starting to kind of pick it up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You like Keith Van Horn, Jason?
I don't know. I don't like too much Keith Van Horn, but I do like Kenyon Martin.
Kenyon Martin.
I think it's funny that you love him. I do like
he's very vocal.
Player.
He's very vocal, but he's almost too vocal now that I'm
watching. Yeah, I just think he needs to calm down, though, sometimes.
Needs to mature.
He gets to play foul. He's going to be out for a couple games. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, he's young. Give him some time. He'll be good. there are some other football transactions that I think happened throughout the week. If you can think of any, go ahead and pipe up, Thad. We got the Pedro Stojakovic. That's something new. Plaxico Burress, Pittsburgh Steelers. You hear about this?
No, I did hear a little bit.
Okay, Pittsburgh Steelers receiver Plaxico Burress, which, by the way, is one of the coolest names in the NFL, Plaxico Burress. And his brother were charged following a fight with police in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Plaxico Burress was charged with public intoxication and misdemeanor. Carlos Martinez Perez of Virginia Beach was charged with assault and battery of police officer. Felony came out the other day that, it's all wrong. Athletes. They're in the limelight. Kind of goes to the territory. Got to keep your nose clean. Can't get in trouble with cops. But again, psychologically, do they kind of think like, hey, Stuart, I'm talking to you. Do they kind of get more of an attitude like, hey, I'm an athlete. I can get away with it?
That may be part of it because especially in schools, it's like they're allowed to get away with a lot of stuff academically.
Exactly.
And,
you're raised like that.
You're raised with that if you're a golden boy in high school or a girl. You know, the female athletes don't seem to have the same problems as the male athletes do. But again, we were talking about this even before the show. It's this whole thing of you're a role model and you're thrown into fame and fortune and expectations without ever having the chance to mature into it and get any kind of training and any kind of guidance, any kind of mentoring that you really need. So all of a sudden, here you are 21 years old and have millions of dollars in the bank and all of this stuff being demanded of you and the world is at your fingertips. You could do whatever you want. And, it's like it's immaturity. And, people end up, whether it's the drugs, whether it's the violence, whether it's, screw you attitude. It's like I need me. And so I'm going to get away with this. It's just immaturity.
And like you were saying, too, Thad, the product of their environment, from what I hear, a lot of the complaints, too, from athletes once they do make it and they start making a lot of money is, they come from the projects. They come from the hood and from backgrounds. They still keep ties with those same people. And a lot of those people want money now. And they kind of have that big thing like, am I obligated to pay them because they're my friends and everybody wants some.
And they want to keep it real and still be down with your friends. And you want to really, you get caught up in that.
You want to keep it real and still be cool. And, hey, man, I haven't changed, and they got to prove to themselves. But then.
And someone needs to tell them it's okay to change.
It's okay to change.
That's what life's about. Mm-hmm. Change, growing up, and getting away from something that was dragging you down and potentially could destroy you.
Mm-hmm. I think the league should have more. They should have stiffer penalties for anything. Because if one person get away with it, the next person is going to push it a little bit more and push a little bit more.
Or some mentoring and training to help them understand and know how to deal with this stuff.
All right, we're at the top of the hour. We want to thank everybody for joining us here. I want to thank Stuart Altshuler again coming down here. Check him out. Tell the truth faster right here at KFNX.
Wednesday nights, 10 p.m.
10 p.m. That of the bone is always coming down here. Jay Dayhorn got something going on. Could make it down here in the studio. Thank you very much again. And, hey, all the listeners out there that we didn't get to, all our callers got the lines jammed up here. Shoot me an email, bracket easy.
Yeah, we got to get to those callers, man. Seriously, yeah. What are you trying to get to?
We got heated debates going on here. We got to break everything down.
Yeah,
but
we got a doctor in the house today, I understand.
All right, top of the hour. Adios. We'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Saturday Night Fever.
Here's the weather, Don.
There's the weather. Thanks for listening. Peace.
Tune in every week, 7 p.m. Saturday night for The Score.
350,000 Americans.